Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, good afternoon. How are you guys? Good? All right, which side is better? How are you guys over here? Okay, pretty good. How's the middle? You guys feel good? Oh, wow. I'm going to have to come back to you guys after that. How's this side? How do you feel? Okay, I'm going to give you guys another chance over here. How do you guys feel? Okay, that's good. Man, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about this series and the whole topic. I mean, these cultural values of the church are very important to me because they're things that God put on mine and Pastor Carey's heart when we were in this church. So having a chance to talk about them and explain them to you and explain the meaning behind it, like last week we talked about being real, that we are a real church for real people in need of a real year. And this week we're going to talk about the second cultural value, which is relevant. We want to be real, we want to be relevant, and we want to be relational. Relevant is an interesting word. It's sort of, you can connect easily with relates, right? Something that is relevant relates to your life. It relates to the things going on in your life. It's connected. It's linked. It's applicable. It can apply to, if those are ideas for relevant, and we want to be a relevant church. We want to talk about things that matter, things that make a difference. You know, sometimes we wonder, is something relevant? You know, I have a comedian that I really like, and one of the jokes he tells is about having four children. And I have four children, so when he talked about it, I could relate. I was like, wow, this sounds good. He said, do you want me to explain what it's like when you have that fourth child? And he said, imagine you're drowning and somebody throws you a baby. That's what it's like having a fourth child. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Imagine you're already drowning and someone hands you a baby. The joke is that we know what is relevant to hand someone, right? You need to hand them something that floats, something that can rescue them. And so when we talk about church and our lives as Christians, we know that there are people all around us that are drowning in their troubles, in their worry, in their fear, in their sin. And they need a church that is relevant to throw them something that matters, something that floats. You know, someone that's drowning, you don't throw them a shoe, right? I mean, it would have to be a pretty big shoe that floats to make a difference. You wouldn't see someone drowning and throw them a book of rules. Hey, follow these rules, you'll be. That's not what it is. You know, when we see someone drowning, we want to rescue them. We want to pull them to safety. I think that's what the church's job is. And in the city of Medan, people that are drowning in their problem, in their hopelessness, and in the darkness, and in their sin, they need someone to throw them some hope. I don't know about you, but that's what my Bible is. My Bible is not a book of rules. My Bible is a book of hope, right? It's not just rules. Hey, open this up. Let's figure out what rules we need to follow this week. No, we open up the Bible and it gives us hope for our life. It gives us hope when we're facing situations, when we're dealing with things, when we feel scared or afraid, it gives us hope. When we're worried, it gives us hope. When we want to know what is this life about, is there any meaning, it gives us purpose, it gives us meaning. Our Bible is full of things that matter. It's relevant. God's word is relevant. So when I think about this, man, I just think about every week when I'm sharing with you guys, anything I'm going to say, it has to go through the so what. Can you say so what? When I talk to you on Sundays, after I tell you something, in your head you should think, so what? How does that relate to me? Who cares? You know, maybe sometimes I think about being a kid and in Sunday school, and we hear some amazing stories, and sometimes in Sunday school or in Sekolah Minggu, we don't get the meaning of everything sometimes. And I would love to hear the story of Noah's Ark. And I thought, man, that would be a great day if God asked me to build a boat. You know, sometimes where you're like, I just don't get it. That's when we would ask, hey, so what? Noah built a boat, so what? How's that going to impact my life? How does that relate, connected? How is it linked? But the Bible is relevant. And when we see the life of someone who trusts God and follows God and God's instructions and he's saved, then we get it. Wow, this is relevant. It matters. It's something that I need. So every week when I'm going to share with you guys, it has to go through the so what test. Does it matter for your life? I mean, there's things that you need to know. There's things that will help you. There's some things that you just want to know. That's why we do You Ask For It. I'll be honest. I do the You Ask For It series for you guys because for me, it is very, very difficult. There's two series that are very difficult to do. You Ask For It because it's all based on your questions. I don't even know where I get all the questions together, you know, hey, what about BPK? What about dating? What about, and then I have to put it all together into a message, and at the end of it, it tells you that Jesus is right? That's difficult. The other series that's difficult is At the Movies, you know, because I have to figure out how is this movie relevant, relating to God's word and relating to our life. Probably those two series are most difficult because they have the potential to be the most relevant to our lives. You go and watch a movie, and then if we can talk about it in church and connect it to what the Bible says and see the theme is related, it relates to us, man, suddenly it all makes sense and it's relevant. Suddenly we've been tossed something that floats when we're drowning and we can grab hold and we're okay. So today we're talking about relevant. Being a relevant church, we're talking about a relevant God, a God who is here, a God who is present. We're talking about God's word that is relevant. When we think about the so what test, so what? Here's an example. Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Man, that's a beautiful picture. Written about 3,000 years ago by David when he was the king of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. But sometimes we could ask ourselves, so what? That was 3,000 years ago. So what? I don't even know. I've never even met David. So what? But then when we realize, wait a minute, there's brokenhearted people today. There may be brokenhearted people in this room. You're sitting here this evening and your heart's broken. You may be here this evening and you are in a desperate place. You may feel lonely. You may need some healing. You may need someone that will come and bind your wounds. And then to top it off, you hear testimonies from people. I share with you from here the wounds that I've had and the brokenheartedness that I've had and how God healed me. And then when someone that you know tells you, hey, it's not just for David 3,000 years ago, he healed my broken heart. He bound up my wounds. He took care of me. Then you realize, hey, what does that mean for me? The thing is this, if God does it for one, he will do it for all. If God can heal my heart, he can heal your heart. Last week we heard two testimonies from real people in this church. Today we heard two more. But last week you heard two people talking about God healing their heart, healing bitterness, healing rejection, healing the things that they've experienced in their past, healing all up so that they could be whole and have a purpose. Because, man, in this life, we know we've experienced broken hearts. We've experienced pain and hurt. You know when you quit experiencing brokenheartedness? That's the only time. Right? I mean, this life is just wound after wound after wound. Anyone else feel like that? You get over one thing and then someone else wounds you. Like, oh, again, I just got over one. We only stop being wounded in this life when we're dead, because you can't be wounded when you're dead. You guys see where I'm going there, right? So when we read this, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Man, it's relevant because we felt that. I've had that feeling of being so down that I didn't even know if it mattered if I lived anymore. That feeling, being suicidal, being depressed, being stressed. I mean, In high school, I had to see a counselor because of those things. I was on antidepressant medicine. Do I look depressed right now? I'm not depressed anymore because God healed my heart. And it's relevant because he can heal your heart. That's what Jesus likes to do. He's relevant. There's this story in the Bible that really up until this morning, I didn't plan on sharing today. I had some other scriptures planned, but there's this story in the Bible that I read about a month or 2 months ago that has really stuck with me, and I can't get it out of my mind. It's about Josiah, who was the king of Judah, where Jerusalem was the capital at the time. And this story can be found in 2 Kings chapter 22. It can be found also in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 if you want to look at this story. But if you've ever read this, you probably remember Josiah because he became king when he was 8 years old. Anyone ever known an 8-year-old king? How many of you have known an 8-year-old? Have you ever met an 8-year-old that you thought could be in charge of an entire nation? Anyone? You're like, hey, that kid, I bet he could rule the whole country. You ever thought, I have 4 kids. Maybe 2 of them could be king. 2 of them definitely not. And I'm not mentioning their names in case they hear this, so they can just wonder which 2 I think. 2 of them I think could be okay. 2 of them, no. But Josiah became king at 8 years old, and the Bible tells us he was a good king. I mean, how bad was the king before him? If at 8 years old, he was already better than the other king. Dad was not a good king. So here's Josiah. He becomes king at 8 years old. And it says when he was 16 years old, in the 8th year of his reign as king, he began to seek God. So as a 16-year-old, you know, from 8 till 16, those 8 years, he led as he could. And, you know, obviously would have had advisors and things like that. At 16 years old, he began to seek God himself, looking for a God who's real, a God who is relevant. And it says that Josiah began to seek the God of David because his dad was so bad, it couldn't say Josiah and to seek the God of his father because his father was not a good guy. His grandfather was not a good guy. So it didn't say Josiah began to seek the God of his grandfather. They were both bad kings. His grandfather was the one in the idol worship and all the idolatry into the kingdom of Judah and into Jerusalem. So they were not good. But here is 16-year-old Josiah, and he began to seek the God of David. Then it says in the 12th year of his reign, when he was 20 years old, he started to clean up Judah and Jerusalem of all the idols and all the altars to false gods. He was tearing everything down and setting things on fire and breaking idols and getting rid of false prophets. A lot of the things he was tearing down were the things that his grandfather had let in. And Josiah is getting rid of all of it. Then when he was 26 years old, the Bible tells us he sent workers to repair and restore the temple. Man, this is when it gets really good. They've got money that's been raised. He says, hey, get the money, pay the workers to repair the temple. They don't even have to report on the money. I just want it to be fixed. I want it to be restored. He wanted God's house put back together. He was getting the nation together. Now he wants God's put back together. And so the high priest at the time goes in and he's getting the money together to pay the workers who were repairing the temple. The high priest was Hilkiah. He went in to the area and he's getting together the money and he finds something. He finds something that had been lost for a very long time. And he came up and he said, hey, I found this book. I found the book of the law. The book of the covenant, depending on the translation you read, he found God's word. He came out with this book. Hey, this has been lost for a long time. I found God's word. It was down here. He said to the secretary that served under Josiah, and he sees it. Man, they are so amazed. Here it is. These are the words that God spoke that were recorded for us that have been lost. The secretary goes to Josiah and tells him, hey, look what the priest found in the temple. And Josiah says, read some to me. And so the man reads some of God's word to Josiah, and the word goes straight into his heart and touches his heart. He rips his clothes. He says, hey, we've been doing things wrong. We've got to change everything. And he gathered the nation together, and he stood in front of them, and he said, hey, the book of the Lord's word has been found, and we've got to change some things. So I'm going to recommit my life to follow him and to serve him with my whole heart and my whole soul. That's the story of God's being found. It was lost in the temple. Can I tell you this evening that God wants to reach into your life and touch your heart just like he touched Josiah's heart? That it's not just hearing God's word. If you've been in church for a while, it's not just hearing it again. Oh, yeah, I've heard that story. I know this. It's not just his words going in, but it's God touching your heart. This is something real. This is something relevant. And when they found it, they recognized that. Josiah knew this is something different. It changed everything. It changed everything. Josiah was a good king. Believed God's word. But I think about this. The other thing in that story that really hits me is that God's word was lost in the temple. God's word was lost in God's house. The way that can happen to us today, God's word can get lost in the church when it's no longer relevant to us. God's word can get lost in his house today when it no longer touches our hearts. We do it like we've always heard it. You know, the Bible says that now we are the temple, right? You are the temple. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted him into your life, the Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the way his word can get lost in the temple today is if we just hear the word of God and it just goes in and doesn't reach our heart. And his words just get lost in the temple and there's no change. God wants to touch your heart this evening. He's relevant. His word is relevant. Jesus is relevant. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Sympathize, in other words, is relate. We don't have a high priest. We don't have a savior. We don't have a king who cannot relate. But we have one who can relate to us. He understands our weaknesses. He understands even the temptations that we face in life. He came and lived on the earth in skin like ours. He walked on the earth. Jesus was relevant. He told stories about shepherds and sheep. That was relevant at the time. If I came here on Sundays and talked to you about shepherds and sheep, we'd all be a little bit confused. I don't think I've ever seen sheep in real life. Anyone? But Jesus had, and those people had. He told farming stories about seeds and planting seeds and watering and protecting the seed from birds that would come down and steal it. He told things that were relevant, that connected with the people's hearts. They understand. Jesus didn't only create the dirt, but he was here, and he could reach down and take a handful of it and touch it. He could touch it. Just like he didn't just create your heart, but he wants to reach into your life and touch your heart. There's more. He wants to do something in your life. He's at work. Jesus is relevant. Last week we said that real people need a real savior, but this week I want to tell you the second part of that is real people need a relevant savior. And we need a Savior that is here right now, a Savior that can understand our life. That's Jesus. Man, he knows you. You don't have to hide anything from him. He knows you. And guess what? He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. You don't have to put a mask on you to hide. He's relevant. And because Jesus is relevant, the church must be relevant. We can't just have a lot of knowledge and no application. Knowledge without application glorifies man and changes nothing. Just glorifies man. It doesn't change anything. We've all seen people that just have a lot of knowledge, just know a lot about the Bible, just know a lot of things, and it's impressive, and it's very cool, but it doesn't change anything. The Bible even says that knowledge can puff up. You ever seen someone? I think it's talking about your chest being puffed up. You've seen people that know so much, puffed up. Knowledge puffs up. I know everything. I come up here on Sundays because I have the answers to it all. Ask me anything from Genesis to Revelation. I have the answer. Deflate quickly. That puffs you up. It's just knowledge. And sometimes knowledge, it just causes people to glorify a man. But it doesn't change anything. But knowledge with application glorifies God. And it changes everything. Knowledge with application changes everything. It glorifies God and changes everything. It changes you. Changed Josiah. And it changed me. My life was a wreck before Jesus. My life was a mess. Anyone else, your life was just horrible before Jesus? And before Jesus came in, my life was falling apart. And what rescued me wasn't just knowledge. It was application. It was relevance. It was seeing how it related to my life. A relevant church. A church that relates to people and reaches out to touch their heart. That's what we should be. Because I believe that an irrelevant church is an irreverent church. And a church when it is no longer relevant, it's no longer reverent. A church that no longer inspires the world, no longer respects God. A church that no longer makes a difference, no longer honors the God that called it into existence. Because the whole purpose of the church is to make a difference. We should inspire change. We should inspire people. All of us filled with the hope of God and the light of Jesus, and we're sent out into the city. Man, that has to change things. That has to change things. When we have knowledge with application, it changes you. And then when you go out from here, that changes the people that the changed you comes into contact with. A lot of change in one sentence, right? It changes you. Knowledge with application, knowing God's word and how it applies, it changes you. And then the changed you, everyone you come in contact with, changes things around you. You have influence. You inspire. Man, this city should feel our presence. The city should feel the presence of a church, not because we have a big flashing neon sign that says I see made on. No, that's not important. The way a city feels the presence of a church is by the people of that church going out and shining a light for Jesus. It doesn't matter if you ever mention the name of the church, you mention the name of Jesus. Sharing your story. Showing your story by the way that you live. I think our stories are very, very important. That's why today I'm going to show you two more stories from people in church, because I believe that's relevant. And I believe there is nothing that will change your life like someone's testimony. Actually, what you're going to see on the video today is far more important than what I'm even doing. So you may be thinking, why don't you stop and get onto the video then? That's what I'm doing right now. This was a transition to the video. So why don't we take a look? I've got two videos. The first one is a testimony from one of our staffs, Shindy. She leads the IC Kids department, and she shared a testimony with us this week. The media team recorded it. So I want to share it with you, and just watch this video, listen to her testimony, and listen to how I think God can change someone's life. Let's watch this.
I think the most significant things that I can see that I become more confident. I become more confident. And like back then, before I came to IC Medan, I think everyone knows that I was a people pleaser. I tried to get acceptance by doing a lot of things for people. And yeah. Like I try so hard to make people love me by doing a lot of things for them. And now I know that the one that I need to please is only God. Instead of pleasing people, I become more confident. I think when the first time I joined IC Medan, was on February 2015, I remember, on Valentine's Day. And then I knew for sure, by the end of 2014, I know that God told me that I can be just a Christian. I have to do something. I will serve Him. But I don't know how to start that step. And then after that, I came to IC Medan, and then I joined the team. I serve God. I serve in kids ministry. I remember back then hospitality, and like I served in a lot of area. And then, but at the end, in the end, like I just love being with the kids, and then I start to just set my focus and serve in kids ministry. I remember that even though I serve God, I still feel something. I still feel something. Know that I have a lot of things in the past that people don't know. That's why I was so insecure. How if people know this? How if people know that I did this before? And how if people know that my life was like this before? And then I try to serve so hard, but I know that it still doesn't make me feel peace inside. And I remember, I think that was on October or November, I came to your house in the middle of the night. I think that's the first step. The first step that I think I really feel free. It was on November. I came to your house in the middle of the night, around 9 or 10 at night. And then after that, I know that I have to... I don't feel peace by serving God if I haven't let go my past. Let go the all the trash, all the garbage that I was carrying. So at that time, I was like, I have to tell you and see what will happen. Because I was so afraid, how if people knows and then they hate me, or how if people knows and they just change. And after that, like, I came to you and I tell you everything. I remember that you told me that, Shindy, you are precious in God's eyes. You are not... I always feel like I am like a germ. Like, if people know that, like, they will avoid me. And then you say that you are precious. You are a germ. You are not like that. And we still love you no matter what. And it just started to build confidence in my life. I think from the messages, like Pastor Chris constantly remind us to the 4 points. Know God, find freedom, and then like discover purpose and make a difference. I think because Pastor Chris constantly remind us about that 4 points, then one of the points, find freedom, I think that is really important. And it's also like from our merchandise and everywhere, it says about freedom. I think it is very important, and for all of us as a human, we really need that freedom. So it's like what I shared before about when letting go the past. In order to let go the past, we need to find the free freedom that can make us let go by sharing. And I also think if we have no courage to share it, it means that we haven't find that freedom. So that's why it's very important for us to just share it. Just like share it and show people that this is it. Like, I was like this, and then this is it. Like, God changed my life and I become like this. This is how, this process that I found my freedom.
All right, can we give Shindy a hand? Man, if you know Shindy at all, it makes perfect sense that her first day at Adam was Valentine's Day, because that just makes sense for her. But she wasn't always on our staff. She came to the church, then she joined the team, and our staff, every one of them are people that God spoke to out before we brought them on. We just don't bring a people onto the staff of the church. It's too important. So God spoke to us about Shindy, and we knew, hey, we want her on the staff. We need to lead the kids. I mean, she just had the personality and the heart for it, but she had a good job. So there's no way, I don't ask people, especially then, hey, you want to quit your job and come serve on the staff? For one, that responsibility. If someone gets on the staff and they're like, man, what did you get me into? You know, what am I doing here? I don't want anyone to blame me, right? So I wait till God calls someone else. And so after a few months and God was working hard and setting her free from some of the things she shared about, and she felt like, I'm just not satisfied at my job anymore. I'm going to leave my job. I just want to serve God more. And then we knew, hey, now's the time. And we have her onto the staff. But maybe you could relate to some of the things she talked about. Fear of not being accepted. Fear of judgment. Shame from your past. And feeling like if you walk into a room, everyone's going to see your past all like germs. And so being reminded that God sees you, just like Pastor Kerry told Shindy, God sees you as precious. He sees you and he loves you. He doesn't look at you and say, man, you're so dirty. No, he looks at you and says, hey, I love you. I love you. Come to me. Walk with me. Let me help you. Let me bring you some freedom. Let me help clean you up. I want us to look at this next testimony. It's from the Uli. She is the leader of our prayer team. She's been a part of our team at IC Maidon since the very beginning. She was at the life group in my house when we were first started, and then team, and now she's leading the prayer team. And she had the courage and honesty to share her testimony with us this week also. And this is a bonus for you this evening. Her testimony is in Bahasa Indonesia. Woo-hoo! Right? So sometimes you're like, hey, can we have anything in Bahasa? This is it. But if you can't speak Bahasa, or if your Bahasa is not that great like mine, you can read the text also. It will be in English. So let's take a look at this.
Kali datang ke IC Medan itu sekitar 2014. Ada seorang teman saya, dia ngajakin. Saya waktu itu 2 tahun gak ke gereja. Karena waktu itu lagi pahit banget sama Tuhan dengan gereja juga. Waktu itu teman saya ngajakin, ayo kita ke live group yuk. Saya tanya, live group itu apa? Dia bilang kayak komsel, kayak cell group. Terus saya bilang, pokoknya yang berhubungan dengan kekristenan, kebaktian, saya gak mau ikut dulu ya gitu. Dia gak berhenti-berhentinya ngajak saya. One day dia ajak saya, kak yuk kita main paintball yuk. Terus saya bilang, itu paintball yang main tembak-tembakan ya? Iya, dan saya penasaran nih pengen main game itu. Yaudah saya ikut. Di momen itu saya merasa terharu karena di mana di masa lalu saya kayak nggak diterima di mana-mana, dan di momen itu, momen di mana saya pertemu kali sama keluarga Ibu Kerry, sama Pastor Chris, setelah saya main paintball, saya tuh kayak disambut, dipeluk, diberi senyuman hangat, disapa, dan itu menyentuh hati saya, dan saya merasa wah ada penerimaan di sini ya, wah saya diterima ya gitu. Dan akhirnya mereka ngajak, mau gak ya besok itu kita ada soft opening IC Medan. Terus saya bilang, soft opening IC Medan itu apa? Oh itu kayak church, gereja. Dan saya akhirnya bilang, okay, saya mau gitu. Karena saya udah ngerasa diterima, akhirnya ketika ada orang yang mau ngajak gereja, saya itu mau gitu. Besok harinya saya datang ke gereja. Waktu pas masih soft opening itu kira-kira hanya beberapa orang yang ada di situ. Dan ketika waktu itu mereka menyanyikan sebuah lagu. Lagu itu sederhana, lagunya dari Kim Walker, judulnya I Need You More. Waktu mereka lagi latihan, ini air mata saya udah pengen nangis mendengarkan lagu itu. Tapi saya bendung, ketika ibadah sudah mulai, saya enggak lagi. Akhirnya saya air mata itu nangis karena kata-katanya itu sangat simple. Aku perlu engkau Tuhan, lebih dari yang kemarin. Aku perlu engkau Tuhan, lebih dari nafas kehidupanku. Itu pertama kalinya saya nangis. Setelah hampir 2 tahun, tidak ada satu lagu pun yang bisa membuat saya nangis. Dan momen itu momen saya pertama kali berada di SC Medan itu adalah turning back-nya saya kembali ke Tuhan. Saya adalah anak yang hilang yang udah kembali ke rumah Tuhan. Saya lahir dari keluarga yang Kristen, tapi Kristennya itu KTP, hanya ada di KTP. Saya ke gereja waktu kecil sampai remaja itu ya hanya waktu pas Paskah, Easter, sama pas Kristus. Jadi di keluarga saya itu tidak ada dibangun tentang bagaimana ngikut Tuhan, bagaimana kita menjadi seorang Kristen yang benar. Saya kecil itu saya punya bapak yang sangat keras. Keras tipikal orang Batak yang sangat keras, apa katanya harus diturutin. Dan papa saya itu orangnya suka minum, minum dari kecil. Jadi dari kecil saya tumbuh jadi orang, jadi seorang anak yang selalu melihat ada pertengkaran ketika papa saya pulang mabuk. Dan saya dengar ada sesuatu yang pecah, itu saya dalam tidur itu kayak waktu masih kecil tuh kayak apa ya itu, saya belum ngerti. Ada suatu hari ketika mama saya matanya itu kayak baru dipukulin gitu, saya juga gak ngerti apa. Sampai saya beranjak dewasa, ada satu momen waktu pas saya mau sekitar 15 ke 16 tahun, papa saya pulang dari luar dan dia dalam keadaan mabuk. Waktu itu saya abang saya yang paling tua tidak ada di tempat itu. Di depan mata saya, papa saya yang sedang mabuk itu memukuli mama saya sampai berdarah. Sebagai seorang anak yang paling besar itu sangat menyakitkan hati saya. Di mana adik saya yang kecil, adik saya yang lain itu nangis dan saya gak bisa bantu apa-apa. Saya ambil kain yang bersih, saya tutupin darah yang keluar dari mama saya. Dan itu sangat melukai saya. Saya tidak punya figur ayah di dalam kehidupan saya. Sampai saya akhirnya dewasa, momen masa-masa papa saya pulang itu selalu dalam keadaan mabuk. Saya waktu itu usia 20-an. Saya tidur itu dengan penuh ketakutan. Saya itu bawa balok kayu yang besar di kamar. Saya bilang ke adik, kita harus berjaga-jaga. Kalau misalnya papa mukulin mama, kita harus bangun. Saya juga bilang, mama kalau mau tidur jangan kunci kamar ya. Kalau papa pulang jangan kunci kamar. Ketika jam 1 pagi, jam 2 pagi, papa saya datang. Kami itu standby. Kami tidur dalam ketakutan. Waktu itu saya punya abang tertua, tapi dia karena pahit terhadap papa, dia pergi dari rumah. Jadi terpaksa saya yang sebagai yang paling tua menjagai adik-adik saya, jagain mama. Ketika tidur, kami dalam keadaan ketakutan. Gak boleh tertidur sampai pagi, sampai kalau misalnya papa saya mukul mama, kami masuk, kami nolongin gitu. Dan itu, di masa itu saya berpikir, kapan ya ini berakhir? Sehingga ketika saya kurang figur ayah, ketika saya kurang figur papa dalam rumah, saya bertumbuh akhirnya mencari cinta itu dari luar. Saya pergi dugem, saya pergi clubbing. Hal yang saya tidak suka dilakukan papa kayak minum, itu malah saya minum. Saya mencari cinta dari pasangan lawan jenis. Yang saya berpikir cinta yang di dalam ini saya temukan dari dia, dari seorang pria. Ternyata enggak. Ternyata pria itu pun menyukai hati saya. Ternyata pria itu pun membuat saya terluka. Beberapa kali saya up and down, terutama itu tahun sebelum saya ke IC Medan. Itu saya benar-benar pahit, marah sama Tuhan, marah dengan kehidupan kekristenan, marah dengan gereja. Saya bahkan ketika ada punya pasangan, saya bahkan jatuh ke dalam dosa perzinahan. Walaupun saya masih bisa menjaga diri, tapi saya merasa saya itu gak layak. Saya merasa saya itu kotor. Karena saya sudah kenal Tuhan, saya sudah hidup dalam lingkungan gereja, dan itu saya tidak bisa memaafkan diri sendiri. Sampai saya ketemu IC Medan. IC Medan membawa saya sampai sejauh ini. Karena saya tahu penghakiman itu membuat saya semakin jauh dari Tuhan. Tapi di sini orang-orangnya welcome. Karena masing-masing orang punya latar belakang yang berbeda-beda. Dan mereka memandang saya itu kayak, aku itu berharga. Saya itu berharga. Berharga di mata Tuhan. Sehingga saya ngerasa nyaman berada di IC Medan. Satu hal yang saya tahu, ketika kamu mengalami masa-masa yang berat, kau harus lari. Tetap dalam treknya Tuhan. Jangan pernah lari dari trek Tuhan. Kalau kau gak bisa lari, berjalanlah. Kalau kau gak bisa jalan, merangkaklah. Hal-hal itu pernah saya alami 2018. Di 2018 saya merasa sangat jenuh, saya merasa sangat kering di dalam. Saya memaksakan diri, tiap hari, tiap minggu saya ke gereja. Saya paksa ada komunitas, saya pernah. Saya waktu itu dalam masa-masa menyeret badan saya. Tapi Tuhan tidak melihat itu sebagai hal yang biasa. Dia melihat hati saya, dia ubah saya. Sampai hari ini, saya benar-benar dipulihkan sama Tuhan. Ketika saya dipulihkan, saya berada dalam naungan IC Medan yang benar-benar sangat mensupport kita, yang benar-benar sangat melihat kita seperti mereka melihat kita apa adanya. Yang pasti, jangan pernah menyerah, karena Tuhan tidak pernah menyerah dalam kehidupan kita.
Can I ask the worship team to come up? And I know that relates to so many of you. I think she experienced something that Uli dealt with in her life. Maybe even the disappointment with religion. Maybe some of you here have been mad at God. It's okay. Because you're real people. We're real people. But even if you've ever been mad at God, that same God has never stopped loving you. That same God, he's never left you. And he's wanting to reach to your life and touch your heart this evening. Man, there's just a different feel here this evening. It doesn't feel as exciting as usual. Something feels different in my heart. And what I know is that it's because God wants to touch your heart. It's different tonight. We don't have to be jumping up and down right now. We don't have to have all the emotion and the joy that's here. But what I want you to know right now is that God is working in this moment. He's reaching out and he's saying, will you let me touch your heart again? Will you let me touch your heart? He loves you. He wants to heal you this evening. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to bind up the wounds. He doesn't want you to continue walking through this life wounded. He doesn't want you to continue hurting. He wants you to let all of that go and say, will you touch my heart again? And he will. And it will change everything. I remember in my life, the night that I accepted Jesus, man, my life was a wreck. You know, last week I knew there was a time I was searching for something real. I was looking for something relevant. I couldn't find it in philosophy. I couldn't even find it at church. And the night that Jesus touched my, I had already given up on all of it. I gave up on ever finding anything real. I gave up on any purpose in this life. I gave up on anything really ever mattering. I was sort of just at that point of, I just survived, it's all over. And hopefully that's not too long. And I remember I was out. I had my daughter with me. I mean, this was at the beginning when my marriage was about to fall apart. Everything was starting to crumble in my life and crumble. I'm out. I have my daughter. She's about 1 to 2 years old. She's on my shoulder. And this group of young Christians approach me. I'm just walking. I'm at the mall. They come up to me. Young people that had their hearts touched by Jesus. I mean, they were real Christians. And I had never met a real Christian in my life. I knew church people. I never met a real Christian. They came to me. They didn't come to me and, you know, I'm drowning in my life. They didn't come to me and say, hey, do you want me to tell you how to say salvation in the Greek language? Do you want me to, you know, tell you about this story of when God's Red Sea and Moses went across? I think that would change your life. Hey, once upon a time, David was king of Israel. Just take that with you. That will rescue you. No, it wasn't like that. None of those are bad things, but without relevance. No, they came to me and they said, I notice you have your daughter with you. That's your daughter, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm a father. And they said, man, that's a hard responsibility, isn't it? It's a lot to do. I was like, man, yeah. I mean, they reached right into where I was. Hey, you stand this too? I was just a teenager and married and trying to be a father. And they're going right into my life. And they said, hey, do you know the Bible talks about fathers and about that responsibility and how you've been called the priest of your home. Man, this direction, man, they're really pulling me in. And they said, you know, the Bible even says that God is our Father. And we know, hey, you must love that little girl. Did you not see you like that? He loves you like you love that little girl on your shoulder. Man, I gave my life to Jesus that night because I met a God that was relevant. He was there with me for the first time. It was real. He was present. They spoke to me in a language that I could understand. I just needed someone to throw me some hope. You may be here tonight. You just need some hope. Man, there is so much hope God is throwing out right now. If you're drowning, grab hold of some of it because he wants to rescue you tonight. Would you stand with me, please? He is a relevant God. His word is relevant. Jesus is relevant.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.